Number two, follow your desires. Yes. Divine desires. Follow your desires and you make full proof of your ministry. Desiring someone and desiring something are more supernatural than you imagine. Have the fear of God in you and have a proper respect for your desires. Have a proper respect for your desires. All right? Because follow your desires, you will make full proof of your ministry. So, number one, a spiritual person must pay attention to his desires. Yes. Because your desires are used by God to do his will. Yes. Pay attention to your desires. Amen. Yes. And that's what brought me into the ministry. Like I told you about. The prophet preached about a mission church. Then I started desiring to be a missionary. And I followed that desire. Yes, I had many other opportunities in life, but I followed that desire. I said, this is what I desire. Some people desire, God gives them a supernatural desire, but they don't follow it. Maybe God has given you a supernatural desire to be a man of God, a pastor, a man of God, but you are not following it. You are not following it. You are following and you are busy and following other things. So if you learn to follow that desire God has put in your heart, you end up fulfilling your ministry. By the grace of God, I'm fulfilling my ministry because I followed that desire that came to me in 1999, 26 years ago. Yes. You know, I had a desire to be a professional footballer. Yes. No, I was a soccer player. All my mates and all my friends knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. And I was good at it. I've played with my KACN before. Those of you who know my KACN. Oh, yes. Seriously. Yes. Yes. You may never know limited. If you give me ball now, you see the skills that I can display for you to see. My house was opposite the Kumasi Sports Stadium. I live my whole life, my school, the school I went. Dr. Steve knows my school. Right behind the stadium, like that. I live my area, we live soccer. Our life was soccer. And that's all I wanted to become. Yes. Amen. Amen. One year I went to France. I was going to stay there for 1 year. And there was a soccer academy around my area. I went and joined them to play. It was just for fun. After the man said, no. We are going to register you. Hey. Oh, yes, Dr. Steve. Hey. So you can't. And I stopped playing football a long time ago. Wow. He said, no. And I was just laughing in my head. Yes. But you see, when God gave me a desire to be a missionary, I took my boot, my jersey, one day and I went and threw them away. Oh, yes. I didn't want to have anything to do with football again. Yes. I didn't want to. The desire for serving God, I went to my pastor and I told him that I want to go to our Bible school in Accra. But I just gained admission to go to the university. Then he advised me that he thinks I should go to the university because we have churches in the university, and when I go, I'll be able to do two things. I'll be studying at the same time, also be involved in the work of God. And it was a very good advice. And I went. And when I went to university, I was doing one of the most difficult courses in that university. Yes, I was doing agriculture, but that university, when you are doing agriculture, you specialize in every area of agriculture together. Wow. not just one, because I was doing animal science. I was doing crop science, soil science, biochemistry, and all of them at a very high whatever. 33 credit hours in a week. And that's all the other courses were doing 18 hours. We were doing 33 credit hours. But because of the desire that I had, my first year in the university, I used to pray 6 hours every day. 6 in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, 2 hours in the evening. By the time I was in the second year, I was made an elder of a church. And I pastored the church. I was a real pastor on campus. People thought I was not even a student. Because you see me in church all the time. You see me preaching, don't broadcast. Early in the morning, 4 a.m., I'm standing in the hostel. And I'm screaming and shouting, and everybody is listening to me. Yes. Crusades were organized. Every Saturday, we're having crusades. So when people realized I was a student, they were shocked. How do you do it? My desire couldn't stop me from serving God. And I served God to the best of my ability. I was into church planting. If you go to Ghana, our university, the university that I went, is the only university in Ghana where we bought a land and have a cathedral there. And it was me who bought the land and registered before I finished university. As a student. Yes. Desire, I'm talking about the power of having a spiritual desire. If you follow it, you will fulfill your ministry. You will really fulfill your ministry. If you follow it. So many of you are here. You are students. You are young people. There's a desire to serve God. That thing, you must follow it. You must pursue it. You must pursue it. You must pay every price to follow that desire. That's how you end up fulfilling your ministry. If you don't pursue it, one day you find yourself to be blamed when you stand before God. But I put a desire in you to follow me, to serve me, but you never followed it. Yes. So, a spiritual person must pay attention to his desires. You must pay attention to your desires. God places desires in men to accomplish his will. Yes. God places desires in men to accomplish his will. So the will of God is accomplished through the desires that God places in you. Amen? Amen. Now, in Genesis 3:16, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to the husband, and he shall rule over you. Hey. Now listen, in order to repopulate the earth, God placed a desire in women for men. That's why we say girls like boys more than boys like men, because it's a supernatural thing. Yes. For a woman to desire a man. That's why when a woman desires another woman. Yes. The inexorable and inexplicable desire is now within every woman and is working out God's purpose of replenishing the earth. Hallelujah. So you see that even though some wicked men oppress women and oppress their wives, but you see that they don't seem to be able to break away. Yes. Because the desire is strong. They leave, they'll go for another one. Because there's a supernatural plan and purpose. Is that also? Yes. The ladies are quiet. There's no lady who doesn't desire a man. In fact, if you don't desire a man, we'll even pray for you, because it's very abnormal not to desire a man. Yes. 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 And God has also put some chemicals in men that makes us also to like you. Certain chemicals. Strong ones. Very, very strong. Testosterone. The testosterone. The ladies have it, but theirs is very small. Yes. But a rare desire in a woman, do you see, is a desire to have children. And to have children, you need a man. Do you understand? But not that the testosterone is working, they want to have sex. No, women, it's not really. When you marry, when you are not married, you may think that sex, but when you marry, that they don't want sex at all. They want the seed to make babies. Yes, they want the seed to make babies. But that's the original plan of God. Yes. Dr. Steve, I'm preaching because he's a gynecologist, so he knows what I'm talking about. Yes. Amen. Yeah. That's what is driving them. To replenish the earth, to have children. Yes. That's why there's a particular time of the month where the lady wants, I want a man. I want a man. I want a touch. I feel for a hug. I feel for a hug. I want a man to embrace me. Hey! Sister, is it true or is it not true? Your body becomes sensitive. Every little touch, you see some current going through your body. Yes. God has made it like that. That's where eggs are released. Yes, the eggs are released. And say, we are here. Your girls are here. And the brother also released his seed. And then he also said that your boys are here. And then when they meet, you become pregnant. These are all the acts of God. Yes. And you see that when a lady is pregnant, it's not easy. He said, greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. 9 months, he's vomiting. He's whatever, doing this, that, that, that. And they will say that after this one, I'm finished. When the baby come after 1 year, they want another one. Amen. Number 3, the desire for things disappear when the mission is over. The desire for things disappear when the mission is what? Is over. Yes. And that's what happened to a lot of wives. When they finish having children, you see that now it's all about their children and their grandchildren. The man becomes almost a zero. Hey! Yes. Before the babies came, your DP was always you and your husband. But when the baby came, it's either the baby or you and the baby. You think we don't know? You think we don't notice it? Yes. Yes. When we were beloved dozing, it's like your wallpaper was always the guy, the brother. So things have changed. Mission accomplished. You got a guy for yourself. Now you got what you're looking for. You have children. Now when your husband touches, hey, don't touch me. Don't touch me. You are not even there. This is your wife's DP. It's only the children. Mercy on your wife. Oh, brothers. Sorry for you, brothers. Sister, tell the brothers we are sorry. We are changing. We are changing. Yeah. It's a very sad reality. Yeah. When there's no more desire, it's a very sad reality. And that's how come a lot of men in their old age end up becoming adulterous. Adultery happens in an older age. Yes. Because at a point you see that a woman, your desire, you stop ovulating. That thing you have once in a month stops. Rather, pains. When the man touches, aish! My back, my back, my back. Yes. So now you say some women, you have to go and get Viagra. Yes. Something to, yeah, it's serious. Yes. Meanwhile, the guy, his mission, his desire is not over. It's rather at the peak. There's power here. There's power here. Yes. One day I met a woman. In fact, I was going to a restaurant with my wife. And then there was this man that we knew, very respectable man. Then we saw him in the restaurant with some young girl. They were eating. They were really happy, happying themselves. So when the man saw me, I didn't see him, but my wife. Then suddenly, he started hiding himself. So my wife told me, don't turn to your left. Don't turn to your left. And me, my wife would tell you that I'm very curious. So she shouldn't have told me. So when he said, don't turn to my left, I turned to my left. And there was the man, young girl, and having good time. And I told my wife, you know, you can easily judge this man and criticize him. What is he doing? But he'd be shocked to find out that the wife has stopped having sex with him long time ago. So we ate, we pretended that we had not seen him. In fact, we had to go and sit in a place that you will not even see us. But not long after, the man showed up in church with his wife. So I was standing with them. Then I intentionally said to the woman, I hope you are treating daddy very well. For daddy is still young. The woman was only 53 years. She just smiled. He said, oh, pastor, I've stopped doing these things 5 years ago. Hey! So 53 minus 5 is what? 48. I told my wife, I said, have you heard? So what should the man do? You have retired for 5 years. What should the man do? Or you don't answer my question. He should die and go to heaven. What should the man do? Because his desires have not failed. It's rather active. So that's why don't criticize your father. Because your mother told you your father cheated on her. You don't know things. Don't exercise yourself in matters that are too higher than you. You have no idea how wicked baby your mother is. You have retired a man at 48 years. Wicked woman. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 5. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and almost, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail. Desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Desire shall fail. Yes. That's how they got to know that David was dead. David had a lot of desires. Hey, that guy had a lot of desires. Like every other man. Yes, he had many wives. And he even went for somebody's wife also. Yes. The desires. That's why you have to control your desires. You don't allow your erection to determine your direction. It's an advice to the brothers. You don't allow what? Your erection to determine your direction. Yes. David allowed his erection to determine his direction. And it brought him so many problems. Yes. He saw Bathsheba bathing, beautiful girl. Suddenly he had erection. And he allowed the erection to determine his direction. And he fell into problems. When David died, they weren't sure whether he was really dead. So they went and brought a beautiful young girl called Abishag. She came to do lap dance. Do you know lap dance? She came to do lap dance. Hey! Charlie, David was still there. No movement, nothing. The girl came back from the room and said, oh, your king is dead. We know our man. This man, we know him. If he was alive. Yes. Yes. They said, wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get it. Change the version. So his advisors told him, let us find a young virgin to wait on you and look after you, my lord. She will lie in your arms and keep you warm. Change the version. You see, the Bible can be very polite and nice, you know. We are going to get a young virgin for our master the king to be at his side and look after him. And she will get in bed with you. And I'll rose our master the king. Hey. Hey. Oh, you still don't understand the message. Verse 3. So they search the country of Israel for the most ravishing girl. Say ravishing. That they could find. And they found Abishag the Shunammite head to the king. A girl to come and ravish. All wives, remember the word ravishing. Yes. The brother said, please be nice to me. What it means that he wants a wife who will ravish him. Yes. Amen. Yes. Please be nice to me means come and ravish me. What is the meaning of the word ravishing? Ravishing. We need it because we are also teaching the young sisters and the sisters here to learn how to become nice wives. I'm taking my time. Taking my time. Yes. Lara, are you here? You have gone home. Your mind is gone somewhere. Yes. This is part of the marriage counseling. When you marry, you'll be ravishing your husband. Ravishing. Where is the meaning? The meaning. Fill someone with intense delight. But you, this guy, why are you getting your definition? Put the dictionary there so we all see. People may think that you are creating the worst. Intense delight. Intense delight. Brothers, husbands are looking for intense delight. Intense delight. Yes. You see some women, some wives, they behave like cadaveric. Yes. Zoom it. Yes. To fill someone with intense delight. Intense delight. Now, what's the meaning of delight? We understand intense, but we don't understand the delight. Intense delight. Fill someone with intense delight. Delight. Delight is happiness. Yes. Happiness. Intense one. Hey. To please someone greatly. Great pleasure. Great pleasure. So intense, great pleasure. Yes. So Abishag. So the whole city, the whole of Israel, they found Abishag. Yes. Abishag. Huh? Sisters. Receive Abishagaric anointing. Yes. Some husbands would like to change their wife's name to Abishak. Yes. Amen. Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. Verse 4. The girl was stunningly beautiful. She stood at his side and looked after the king, but the king did not have sex with her. Oh, desire have failed. Desire have failed. The king is dead. Because they know their man. David. Yes. That's when they realize that, Charlie, there's no hope. The man is gone. Yes, the man. I'm talking about desires. So when you don't have desire for something again, like you don't have desire for ministry, desire to, it's a very bad state. Very, very bad state. Yes. That's why I said, have proper respect for desire. Rather, when you don't desire, when you're supposed to, like I'm saying that, when a girl says me, I don't desire any man, it's a problem. Or you have a daughter who is 18 years and 20 years. Look, the country where I am, do you see? Look, we had a brother. He was a very bad boy. He became born again. Now, when he became born again, he wouldn't go out. He used to club. He used to bring different girls to the house. Right in front of his parents. Oh, yes. It's normal. It's normal. Yeah, it's normal. When I went there, I was renting one room, just one room in a three-bedroom apartment, a family. The boy was 18 years. Every night, he would bring a new girl to his room. And the mother was there. Oh, yes. It's normal for them. Rather, if you don't do it, it's abnormal to them. So this brother who became born again was one of my main guys in the church, spiritual. So every time he's in his room, he's playing preaching tapes. He's reading his Bible. No girl was coming to the house anymore. He was not going out for parties. The parents were disturbed. They actually went to a witch doctor. To seek for help because, like, their child has become abnormal. Oh, yes. I'm telling you. It's like, this is abnormal. Yes. Serious. But they didn't know that his desires are switched to the right things. Yes. So you see that it's rather funny when you don't desire certain things at a certain age. Yes. The same way a brother say, I'm 25, I'm 24 years, I don't desire girls. You're not normal. You're not normal. Yes. That's why when you say, oh, if even a brother, if somebody accuses that you like girls, I mean, it's not a bad compliment. But what is, I mean, it means I'm normal. A normal guy must like girls. Yes. Only that you don't allow your erection to do what? To determine your direction. The day you meet a brother who is trying to be someone, say, hey, don't let your erection determine your direction. Be careful. So desires can fail. Yes, it can fail. But your desire for God must never fail. Amen. Your desire for spirituality must never fail. Amen. It should never. I've watched people who desire God, desire ministry, and then one day you see that that desire is failed. They are not interested in God at all. Church, even coming to church is a problem. It's difficult. That will never happen to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number five or four. There are many evil desires, but they are also good desires. Hallelujah. Most people are afraid of their desires. This is because human beings often have desires for wrong and illegal things. Yes. Wrong and what? Illegal things. How can you desire somebody's husband? How can you desire somebody's wife? It's illegal desire. It's a desire about what? It's illegal. It's illegal. Illegal. Okay? Men have desires for women. Pornography. Masturbation. Sex. And homosexuality. But they are all bad and illegal. Yes. So I'm talking about desires. Yes. That God can call you through desire, but they are bad desires. Which can also pull you away from your desire for God. And your desire for the right thing. Today, you see, the sin of the youth is lust. The sin of the aged is pride. Do you see? Now when you are young, you have to know that there's something called lust, lustful desire. It is looking for you. And if you don't master yourself, it will destroy your life and your future. And the devil is at work. Because, you see, there's a war between the devil and young children. That's why John said that, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. Young men are supposed to be strong. And that you have overcome the wicked one. So Satan would like to destroy you before you destroy him. Because it's a war strategy. You have to be on the attack instead of being on the defense. So you see that many young people are being attacked with bad desires. Like pornography. Some people are addicted to pornography. It's a stronghold. And it's not only men. Even some women are even wadder. Yes, I had a church member, a lady. I mean, her phone was just for pornography. She told me, said, Bishop, it's like 90% of the things I do with my phone is to watch pornography. Yes. Yes. And anybody who's addicted to pornography is addicted to masturbation. Yes, it works hand in hand. Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And then if you continue, then it introduces you to a lot of perversion. Yes. Perversion. Yes. You see that now you are not just masturbating. You start desiring what you watch. You see two ladies are doing things. So that suddenly that desire enters into you. Two men are doing things. Suddenly that thing enters into you. Or two, three people are having sex. Then suddenly it also enters into you. We have people in church who have threesome and foursome and twosome. Don't pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about. Dr. Steve, they are trying to tell me that they don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you are in church, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't bring yourself this afternoon. Bad desire. Yes. That's why you must be careful of what you watch. Yes. Don't joke with that sight, the eye. The eye is an entry point to evil. Yes. Yes. Every man has five entry points of satanic invasion. How demons gain access into your life. One of them is through the eyes. Yes. That's why in Lamentation 3:51, Jeremiah the prophet, he said, my eyes affected my heart because of the daughters of my city. So what you see can affect your heart. Yes. What you see. And Bible says, it is that which is the man's heart that can defile him. So as you are watching pornography, as you are watching two men having sex, two women having sex, three people having sex, and all these nasty things, it affects your heart. And your heart is the seat of your emotion and your actions. So the effect of pornography is very demonic and devastating. Yes. So the eyes, another entry point is the ear. So as you are watching and hearing the things you are hearing, they are all entering into you. Seriously. Yes. Because if it's not in the heart, it can't defile you. It cannot destroy you. Yeah. It's like preaching. If it doesn't enter your heart, it can't change you. Wow. Yes. Preach. Yes. So what you see has an effect on your heart. It has an effect on your heart. So pornography is a very deadly weapon Satan is using to defile young people today. I'm telling you. Today people even marry, they can't have sex unless they watch pornography. Yes. Young people cannot have erection until they watch pornography. Not that I heard. I know what I'm talking about. Recently, a young couple, they got married less than 1 year. They are divorced now. Because the guy cannot have sex with the wife unless pornography. He cannot. He just cannot have erection to have young boy, young girl. And the girl said, no. I'm properly brought up. I don't know this thing, pornography. You are coming to change me that I have to be watching pornography with you. No. So they are divorced. Yes. You see, the effect of pornography and all this lustful desire, you have no idea. They have long term. See, most of Satan's plans are long term plans. Yeah, by the time you are getting married, that's where you are going to reap the seed of it. Yes. Yes. You see that a young girl, you've watched porn, you've masturbated, and now you marry. There's nothing that your husband wants to do that you like. It's like what you do to yourself is what you like. And it opens up a world of problems and difficulties for your husband, for the marriage. Yes. It's called DIY. Do it yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. That is why The word of God warns us. Do you see? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Timothy was a 17-year-old boy. Very young. And he had a call of God. So Paul spoke to him on different things. He said, flee also youthful lust. Flee. Don't hang around anything that has an element of lust. Don't hang around it. Flee. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Flee. It's something to run away from. Because the effect and the power that is in that thing can destroy your whole life and your future. But when it comes to the devil, he said, resist the devil and he shall flee. But when you meet lust, he said, you must flee. Even more dangerous than Satan himself. You see, in a building where there's a fire outbreak, they say what? Flee. Everybody flee. Evacuate. In the evacuation, you don't stroll. Everybody is running. Yes. But sometimes when I see people, the way they handle lust, I say, you are not serious. You should be running. Like Joseph ran. Some of you sisters, you know that this brother, anytime he speaks to you on the phone, the whole night you'll be swimming in your bed. By the time you hang the phone, you are full of lust. You should do what I've done. You should take your phone and say, I block you. Yes. Flee also. Timothy, flee also. Flee also. Flee also. Youthful lust. Flee also. Youthful lust. Okay? But follow righteousness. Remember that you have to flee to follow. Remember? Yes. If you don't follow something, you are in trouble. The thing will catch up with you. Flee also. Youthful lust. So once you are young, your major problem and your major attack will be lust. If you can handle it, you'll be fine. Should I show you how to handle it? First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. Say, it's the will of God.
It's the will of God.
Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Fornication. Abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. You want to know the will of God? This is the will of God. You should abstain from fornication. All right? And now he's going to teach you how to do that. Verse 4. That every one of you, say every one of you.
Every one of you.
Does it include you?
Yes.
Should know how to possess his vessel unto sanctification and honor. Fornication will take away honor from you. Yes. Now, he says that you as a person, you are a vessel. You should know how to possess your vessel, because we are all different. There are some people, when you hug them, you are never the same again. Maybe hugging doesn't help you. I'm worried for a woman who is always wanting guys to hug her. It's a sign of something bad. And when you hug them, they can't leave you. Dr. Steve, I'm going to Mozambique to preach this message. These people, what I'm preaching doesn't apply to them. No. What I'm preaching doesn't apply to them. Dr. Steve, go and find me another group. They don't know what I'm talking about.
So if hugging is a problem for you, don't hug people. Don't hug people. Yes. You should know how to possess your vessel. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You should know. You should know that, hey, I beg you. Some of you brothers, you say, I don't hug girls. Some of you sisters, I don't hug brothers. I give them handshake. Or even when we hug, it's just shoulder to shoulder. You turn the side like this. You don't go with your Manchester. I feel like I'm preaching to the wrong people. Yes. So there are evil desires and there are also what? Good desires. Yes. But you have to be careful with the evil desires, especially when you are young. And I mentioned to you that when you are young, there's something called lustful desires. Yes, you got to be careful with it. Yes, you got to be careful with it. You have to control it. You have to contain it. It is in you. It's in us. Yes. As I said, every man of you should know how to control that thing. You play with it, you are in trouble. Yes. Brothers, are you here? You have gone home. Yes. Because that's the natural thing. The natural thing for a brother is to sleep with many girls. That's a natural. Is to sleep with many girls. So when you don't sleep with many girls, it is supernatural. It means that some power is helping you. Yes. Do you get it? The natural thing is to have many girls. And when Solomon allowed it, he had 1,000. Yes. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. And King Solomon loved many strange women. Many. Say many.
Many.
Strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, women of the Ammonites, women of the Moabites, women of the Edomites, women of Zidonians, and the Hittite women. Verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go to them, neither shall they come near unto thee. There are some ladies, you should never visit them. There are some brothers, you should never go near them. It's a warning. When you go near them, you feel something. I feel something. Neither should you also let them come near you. For surely they will take your heart after they are gone. But Solomon cleaved unto them in love. Serious. Verse 3. And he has 700 wives, 300 concubines, and his wives turn away his heart. Oh, Solomon used to love God. He desired nothing but God. In 1 Kings 3 verse 3, the Bible says, and King Solomon loved the Lord. But it's that small, and he was a young man. That small desire for a woman, he didn't control his vessel, so he just went out of control. That's man's nature. So a brother, if you allow your naturalness, by the time you realize you have plenty girls, sleeping all over with different girls. And nothing destroys a man's destiny than fornication. Yes. It's a very dangerous thing. That's what the Bible says, flee, flee. Flee fornication, flee. Yes. And then the natural thing also for a woman is for many men to sleep with you. That's also the natural thing. Because you desire a man, you say that this one will come, will break your heart. After sleeping with you for 2 years, then he goes away. Instead of you to learn from it, then you desire another one. You say, oh, this one will be very different. Then he also comes and sleeps with you for 6 months. Then he leaves you. By the time you are getting married, is it body count? Your body count is 112 men. Yes. Yeah, it's more than the church. Yes. That's your naturalness. The sin in that, that's your naturalness. Yes. That's why when you manage to marry as a virgin or a secondary virgin, there are two types of virgins. Do you want to know the types of virgins we have? We have primary virgin and secondary virgin. So primary virgin means that since you were born, you've never slept with any brother before. But secondary virgin is that you slept with men, but since you became born again, you've never slept with anybody. Wow. Yes. And I even have more respect for secondary virgins. And because after you've gone to taste it, it's not easy to say, I won't taste it again till I marry. So when you see them, they're able to control themselves. 5 years, 7 years, they don't do it again until they marry. When I meet them, I say, God bless you, my sister. Yes.
Well done.
Well done. Yes. You have a crown in heaven. The Bible says, they that overcome, God will honor them. Amen. That's the naturalness. The desire. If it's not called bad desire, you have to control it. Yes. Solomon followed it 1,000. Now if you have 700 wives and 300 girlfriends, what time would you get to read your Bible? What time would you get to pray? That's how his heart was turned away. Amen. And women want attention. Yes. 700 wives. Yes. Number 5. The call of God is usually accompanied by a desire. Yes. The call of God is usually accompanied by a desire. So when God calls you, he often places a desire within you. You will notice your strong and passionate interest in certain things. Your love for God, your love for soul winning, your love for church, your love for God's house will be all that fires you up. This desire is a sign that you are called by God. Always look out for desires. Desires are important navigators for Christians who are seeking God's will in life. This is why Paul said to Timothy, watch out for those who have desires. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. This is a true saying. I'm sure Timothy had sent a letter to Paul as he was in prison that, how do I know people who are caught in the ministry? Then he said, this is a true saying. If a man desired the office of a bishop, that word bishop is from the Greek word episkopos, which means an overseer, a shepherd, a pastor. He said, if any man desire that office to pastor people, to care for people, that person desire a good work. Yes, that is what you must look for. Yes. That thing.
It's a sign that the person is called into ministry. Like I was telling you, I desire to be a missionary, to go to another country, to live my life there, to preach to people I don't know, to learn a language I didn't know. It was God. It's a desire. So I don't know what you are desiring. To be a pastor, to be a shepherd, to be a preacher, to teach the word of God, to be a missionary, to be a missionary's wife. You have desired a good work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why in the church we ask people, do you desire to be a shepherd? Do you have a desire to be a shepherd? Do you have a desire for God to use you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Sometimes God plays a desire for you to love Him. Yeah, to desire Him. Love Him. All you want to do is to love God.
Yes.
To serve God. I want to serve God.
Yes.
Oh Lord, I feel drawn to you. I feel drawn. Lord, I want to seek you more.
Forever.
I want to be near you forever.
Lord, I'm coming close to you. Lord, I'm coming closer and closer to you. I'm trying to feel your presence now. Lord, I want to be your favorite child. So I'm coming closer and closer to you.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I wanna seek you more. I want to be near you forever. Oh Lord, I am coming close to you. Lord, I'm coming closer and closer to you. I'm trying to feel your presence now. Lord, I want to be your favorite child. So I'm coming closer and closer to you. I appreciate you, Jesus. I just don't know how to say it. Oh, I love you very much. I'm so happy,
so happy
that I found you,
that I
Lord.
Found you.
I want to live my life with you.
I want to live my life with you.
I want to stay in your house. Send me to do anything for you. Lord, I want to be your favorite child.
Sing that back, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Jesus.
I just don't know how.
I just don't know how to say it. Oh, I love you very much. I'm so happy that I found you, Lord.
I want to live my life.
I want to live my life with you.
And I want to stay in your house.
I want to stay in your house. Child.
Yes, you see, when God put a desire to love Him and to serve Him, this is the song you'll be singing. And this is a song that when we are singing it, it ministers to your heart, because that is what you really want to do with your life. God has put that desire inside of you.
Yes.
The desire to serve him, to be nearer, to be closer, to be in his house, to live in his house. It's a desire, it's something supernatural God has put inside there to use it to draw you to fulfill your ministry and the call of God on your life. Yes. To love him, to serve him, to be his favorite child. It's like, I want God to like me, to love him. You want to feel the warmth of his embrace. You want to feel God. You want to be somewhere God is. You want to feel his presence. You want to live forever in his presence. You don't want to go home. It's supernatural. Start from the beginning and sing again, my dear.
I love you, Jesus, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to serve you, Jesus, Lord. I want to be your favorite child. I want to please you, Lord. This world is so very dark.
Sing it to him. Sing it together with her.
I just don't know how to say it.
It's a prayer.
Oh, I love you very much. I'm so happy that I found you, Lord. I want to live my life with you. I want to stay your house. Send me to do anything for you, Lord. I want to be your favorite child. Oh Lord, I feel drawn to you.
Your hands and say, Lord, I'm coming
I'm
closer.
Trying to feel
your presence. Just pray. Pray in the spirit.
Lord, I want to be
pray in the spirit.
Pray in the spirit. Child.
like you and to love you and to want you, Lord. We are thankful. We are grateful. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please go back to